Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, and a full house of experts here. If you have a question about Macs, we got a lot of people in here who have got the experience to help you. And also, Mr. Ed Riddell is here to answer Windows questions. That's all in this hour of the Internet Advisor. Your questions, our answers. 800-859-0957. Give us a call. Welcome to hour number two, the hour that we have declared to be your hour. That's right. That's when you get to call with your questions. And by the way, if you've just been kind of cruising by and ran into this wild group of people here talking about Mac Group Detroit and Apple computers, you ought to know that on a regular basis, we're here from 5 to 7 on Saturday evenings. And we have our second hour of the program is the one where we open up a phone line at 800-859-0957. And you get to ask any question you may have. It could be on Apple. It could be on Windows. It could be about a cell phone. It could be about your, internet service, whatever it may be. We'd love to help you. And we've got a lot of people in here in studio. As a matter of fact, let me quickly go around the horn to welcome them. Once again, Eddie Riddell back in studio from his nap, having stepped up.
You know, and Cal sitting next to me because we have a full studio. Uh-huh. And so I use a tired joke with Cal all the time and says, I love that magnetic power adapter you have on that. And then Jim Cutler sitting across there from me and he goes, well, you know, what was it you said, Jim? You said, enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, words to that effect.
Yeah. because the USB 3C is coming out, which not only provides communication, but also the power.
And, Eddie. MacBook Pro.
Well,
there's no power.
It's osmosis then, right?
Well, the power is that USB-C port.
Yes. Yes,
I'm going to miss that magnetic jack.
Yes, sure. And a lot of other people are going to as well. By the way, but I just saw the other day that Intel has now said that they're going to put the USB-C...
3C.
3C. And make that part of... They're going to put it on their chips. So it's going to...
Yeah, but you know what? You know, I think this is a short-term solution for many of our devices because wireless charging is just evolving so rapidly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been out for 10 years. Devices 10 years ago had it, but they were, you know, kind of not clunky, but, you know, pretty soon we'll have wireless charging.
But it's interesting.
Osmosis.
I just saw that this week that Intel announced that. Am I right? Did I get that right, Dave? That it was a USB-C? USB-C Thunderbolt ports that they're going to be working
with? That's
correct.
The spec will be made public so other people can implement it.
That's right. So it's not going to be proprietary, and that's why they say it may indeed take over.
Well, I wouldn't say it isn't proprietary.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't say it is, but I wouldn't say it isn't until I haven't actually read the release of the spec.
Okay. In studio with us, you just heard Jim Cutler, who is a network and system expert with us. Dave McGuire is also with us in the studio, and Sheeta Hunter. They are with the Mac Group Detroit, and then Cal Carson, of course, our Apple man. And then we also have Ed Riddell in-house. Folks, we got a lot of calls coming in here. Let's dive right into the calls and start answering some questions. Bill from Canada, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hello, Bill.
Happy Memorial Day weekend, you guys.
Thank you very much.
I've got an issue here. I've got a 6-year-old HP Pavilion.
Yes.
And I've never had any issues with this until the other day. I hadn't used it in maybe 3-4 days. I turn it on, and the internet part comes up, and it's green. Everything's ready to go. No problem. But 10-15 seconds later, boom, it goes to orange. And I'm thinking, okay, so I don't have internet service. What the hell's going on? So I called my service people. They said there's nothing on their end they can do, that it may be a problem where I have no Wi-Fi anymore. Like the Wi-Fi chip or whatever it is probably gone. So they gave me the number for HP. I called them, and they give you the runaround. But then basically the only thing they want is money. But they also wanted to email me. I said, are you kidding me? The damn thing doesn't work. How the hell are you going to email me? You know what I mean? Like, and it flew over her head, right? I mean, she didn't get it, right? So I got thinking, holy geez. So I got ticked off. and I called the Staples, because that's where I normally take it to have it serviced.
Uh-huh.
And the guy told me, yeah, it's probably going to be in the neighborhood of a couple $100, but if that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, man, I mean, you know, this thing is getting older. I put a screen on it. I've done a bunch of work to it.
Yeah.
And it only cost me $650 when I bought it over at Sam's Club. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe it's time I, you know, other than the fact that I just ordered two brand new batteries 2 weeks ago. And
oh, boy.
Ready
yeah.
To get picked up in the States, eh?
Does it sound...
ordered them off Amazon.
Yeah.
So I don't know what, I mean, do you guys have any ideas what, like, is there any way of getting around this? Because I punch it up on the web.
Uh-huh.
And I'll hit network settings, and it gives me the idea that I can have it. But what ends up happening is that it says that my Wi-Fi is turned off, and the connection's not there. And yet
okay.
I've got everything else working in the house off this cable company that I deal with.
Yeah, Bill. Let's hang on a second. Let's see if we got some thoughts from some of the other folks in studio. Ed, start with you.
Well, there's like four things, but Hewlett Packard's are notorious for the hot switch that turns on and off your Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah.
So on yours, do you have a dedicated key for turning on and off your Wi-Fi or key sequence or a switch?
Well, there's on the top row, there's a little thing that has like, it looks like an eye on it, and you can, and it's a function 12, and you can either punch it on and off, on and off, on and off, but yeah. The only problem is it just stays on orange now.
Okay. The other thing, so you might want to also check in the BIOS. So when you power up your computer, you could tap the F10, go on the BIOS, and you have the ability to enable or disable the Wi-Fi in there. But this is what I found on HPs, Dells, Toshibas, Lenovos. Every once in a while, the wireless adapter messes up. And you have to go into the device manager, delete the wireless network adapter, let Windows rediscover it. So what version of Windows did you run?
Well, unfortunately, I got yanged into 10 last August, whether I liked it or not.
And that's fine. So in Windows 10, you can go to the search bar and type in Device Manager.
Yeah.
And then you'll one of your results will be Device Manager.
And I can do all this without having to be on the internet then, right?
Correct.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's yeah. Right on your computer.
And mm-hmm. then it'll bring up a device interface. And on there, it'll show your computer and then all the individual components. Hardware components of your computer that Windows loads drivers or software for.
And what should
so
you look for?
It's in a tree. So one of them, one of the items in the tree is network adapter, and then you hit the plus sign next to that, and then you see the wireless network card of some description. You highlight it or select it, strike your delete key, and then Windows is going to say, do you wish to delete the software that goes with this? No. Just delete the device. Just remove the device. Shut down and restart your computer. That usually fixes this exact issue.
Okay,
but
Bill.
Hold on the line. Our guest may have a different answer as well.
Yep, we'll be back with them as well in just a moment. Welcome back. It's the holiday weekend here, Memorial Day weekend, and we have folks lined up. It's interesting. A lot of people lined up for questions. Jim from Troy and Lynn from Ohio will be with you shortly. We're going to go back right now, however, to Bill from Canada. And Bill, some of our guests here in studio have some thoughts to share with you as well. Dave McGuire.
So did you try using an Ethernet line to the computer to make sure that you've got a good connection coming from that modem?
Bill?
My serving people, the cable company asked me if I had an Ethernet line. I don't have one. I don't believe.
Okay. Well,
all I can do is reboot, because the thing is, I used to have a Linksys or whatever, but I changed the router, and what I did is I got a router and modem together.
Okay.
And I rent that off the cable company, and then and it just reboots my Fire Stick and my telephone and all that stuff, right?
Okay. That makes sense.
And the computer.
Well, you should have an Ethernet cable from your old router. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's the thing that looks like a big telephone cable.
Big
that
fat
you can
blue
plug
cable.
In, yeah. And take that and plug it into your computer, and then plug the other end in the back of the router that was provided to you by your Internet service provider, and see if you get Internet on that laptop. If you do, then we know we've got it narrowed down to a Wi-Fi issue on the laptop. And perhaps maybe the rebooting and some other things that Ed had suggested might resolve it.
Okay.
Jim, you had a thought too, Jim Cutler, that if you were saying if it's a provided, if it's like the modem and the router are provided by the cable company, you had a suggestion.
Well, a power off reset of that equipment to make sure that it starts from ground zero and builds itself correctly right. is always good.
Yeah, I did that a couple times the other day, and like I said, my Fire Stick. I'm sitting here watching a baseball game, and you know, I've got my telephone because I'm talking to you on my telephone, so mm-hmm. I know that works.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, that's
okay.
Good. That's diagnosed diagnosis by substitution, and of course the ultimate for diagnosis by substitution, is, since you do have a laptop, is to take it somewhere else where there's Wi-Fi and see if it works there. And if it doesn't work there, then it probably is hardware like your HP folks told you. And you can go to your library, you can go to McDonald's, you can go to Panera.
Or if you're in Canada, go to Tim Horton.
Well, yeah. You know, actually, I was going to take it to Staples because they do a lot of the work for me, you know, if I have issues, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I didn't buy the batteries from them. I bought them from over in the States. That's why I was going to go over and get them there, but I don't know.
Well, like, you know, I've never known a wireless adapter, one out of the last 10 or 15 years, that I've ever known a wireless network adapter to actually fail. Usually it's a driver, or that you have to force Windows to reload the software for it.
Right.
So, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense.
All right, Bill.
All right, listen, guys, have a good weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you have a good weekend as well. And let's go to Jim in Troy. And Jim, how may we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Yeah, I have an HP on Windows. And the screen response time is deteriorating from seconds to minutes. And I'm wondering what antiviral or anti-malware to run, and if indeed that would help.
Okay, you're running, you said an HP?
He's running an HP Pavilion. You're saying basically the mouse movements and clicking on things, that it's basically taking you forever for anything to respond?
No, it's once I get into the browser.
Oh, so it's web browser based.
Yeah, somebody else I ran into the other day had the same kind of problem. Oh, my son-in-law. And I was looking at his computer as well. And the program that I ran and that we suggest all the time is Malwarebytes. Have you run that program, or do you know of it?
I have, repeatedly.
Okay. You run it repeatedly, and it's still slowing down.
Yes.
Well, what's your browser you're using? Which web browser?
Google.
It's Google Chrome. So integrated in there is you could try an alternate browser temporarily, try Internet Explorer, and see if how that responds.
Have you tried another browser?
The Start Search page.
Have you tried another browser like Internet Explorer or Safari or something like that?
I think Start Page Search or whatever is a browser, no?
No, it isn't, no. What it does is it will go and use your default browser. So, for instance, since you're using Chrome, when you go to search like that, Start Search Page, it's going to Chrome. Am I right?
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. But you should have another icon on there when you hit your Start button, and you should see eventually something called Internet Explorer. Yeah. And that is another web browser that you can use.
Which version of Windows? Excuse me, Ed. Which version of Windows?
Oddly enough, when the thing, and it won't shut down, it takes minutes or a lot of minutes to shut down. Huh. And oddly enough, the Internet Explorer is the last one that has to close before it will shut down.
You're having a lot of issues with this computer. But you didn't answer what the Windows operating system is. Is it?
I tried it with Windows 10, and then I went to Windows 7, and it's common to both.
Okay, so you have a dual boot capability.
Is that right?
I had to reinstall 7.
Oh, reinstalled 7 from the Mac. Oh, that's interesting. And you're still experiencing this sluggishness and slowness. Have you at any point checked to see if your hard drive is failing, your disk drive? Because
I don't.
How would you do that? Can you?
You might want to run checked or well, in your computer, you can go to My Computer and you'll see your C drive. Mm-hmm. And when you get to your C drive, you can right mouse click on that and select Properties, and there is a error checking tab, which will allow you to check your disk for errors. That's one of the simple ways of checking it. Because what slow response with multiple applications can you know, cause this particular issue.
But he's seeing it only when he's on the internet. Am I right, Jim?
Correct.
Yeah, you're not seeing it. For instance, if you went in to create a Word document, would you see it in there? You know, for instance, if you were working in an application on your computer, would you see it? Does it slow down that way, too? Dave, you have a thought?
I never do that. I don't know how.
Okay, that's right. Go ahead. Dave,
have you ever tried to run a speed test to find out how fast your internet is running?
On a what, please?
A speed test. What's one of the common ones?
Well, speedtest.net, I believe, is one of them, right?
Yeah, speakeasy.net.
Or speakeasy, thank you. That's another one.
C as in Charlie, test.net.
Speakeasy.net would be one.
Okay, speakeasy.net. That's one of them. And then what was the other one you mentioned?
I think it was, well, it's been a long time, and they have a lot of ads on their website, so it's been a while. I haven't checked.
Yeah.
Just try the speakeasy one.
Try speakeasy, okay?
But I believe the first one was speedtest.net. I was right the first time. Okay.
Yeah, and if you after you run the test, you may want to contact your internet provider and ask them what speeds you should expect to be getting, because if they've moved you down to, you know, a very slow speed, it's going to be like dial-up.
Hmm.
And I've seen that happen to people where suddenly their internet was not running at the speeds they were quoted. So that could explain, since the issue is only...
This is the desktop. The laptop is fine.
So okay. All right.
Okay. So with that being said, then I would say, obviously, it's a software or a hardware issue. If it's hardware,
desktop.
On the desktop.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, it could be something silly as a bad cable if it's hardwired. I mean, I run into that maybe once or twice a year where we go to someone's desk in the office and they're experiencing they're experiencing problems and they have a broken wire on one of the pins on their cable.
Cal, you had a thought to share?
Have you cleaned up your temporary internet files in your browser?
Have I cleared those out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'm feeling really strongly that it's probably a problem with your hard drive. Now, you say even though other things are working fine, but it may be the position where your browser program is sitting on the hard drive is a spot where it's having a problem. So I would run the check that Ed had prescribed to you earlier and see if that passes successfully. If it does, then... I would probably look at reloading Google Chrome by removing it from your system and then reinstall it again and see if that'll work for you.
Okay.
Okay.
I will try that.
Please. And then, by the way, you can get back to us during the week by going to internetadvisor.net, and there's a contact us button there.
And, you know, he might want to go to HP's website and see if he can download the manufacturer's diagnostics. A lot of times when you go HP's website, it's would you like to download the setup software so that we can make sure your computer's running the right drivers for your computer.
Right.
But then also included in that are some diagnostic software that it may reveal something.
Yep.
Okay.
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 Very good.
All right, sir. Well, you enjoy the rest of this holiday weekend, okay?
Thank you, and you as well.
Thank you, Jim. All right, Lynn from Ohio, thank you for your patience. We'll be getting to you in just a minute. We're about to take a break, and I don't want to get you started asking your question in order to simply duck out of here. I want to thank Danielle Mason, who is our hero this weekend again. She is the engineer behind the second hour of the program, and she's also manning the phone. So thank you very much, Danielle, for doing that. And that phone number again is 800-859-0957. And you've been hearing some of the questions that people have been asking and some of the areas that we're helping them with. We have a whole bunch of people in studio. Matter of fact, if you have a Mac question to ask, we're loaded for bear today. We got a lot of folks from the Mac Group Detroit. And just kind of a quick plug from them, they are going to be meeting tomorrow at the Birmingham Temple in
Farmington Hills.
In Farmington Hills, right.
On 12 Mile between Middlebelt and Inkster.
And the Genius Bar is open at 2, and then the meeting starts at 3, and the gentleman's voice you heard, Dave McGuire, will be delivering some information about password managers. It's going to be a really interesting show. 800-859-0957. Make sure we get your question. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, and let's go to Patient Lynn, who is from Ohio and been waiting for us here. How you doing, Lynn?
Oh, pretty good, except I have a cell phone with a white screen.
A cell phone with a white screen. What's the cell phone?
It's a ZTE Z22.
ZTE Z22.
222.
Okay. Z222.
It's a flip phone.
Oh, it's a flip phone.
Oh, you just open them up and close them like...
Oh, no, I know. Like NCIS.
Yeah, right.
I've often wondered, but I used to have a flip phone, and I they seemed every when you watch TV, that seems to be the only the only cell phone people are using. Sheeta, you had a thought?
Yes, it's DOA.
DOA.
Dead on arrival. That is a common occurrence of some flip phones because you use them so much and flip them open and closed. The yep. wiring has frayed.
Yep.
It's done. It's cooked.
How long have you had the phone, Lynn?
About 2.5 years.
Yeah. I went through a StarTAC. Remember the StarTACs?
Oh, yeah.
I had a StarTAC. That one was the same thing. The opening and the closing of the phone, as cool as that is, mm-hmm. eventually the wires in there snapped. Mm-hmm. And then I forget what I got after that, but it was a flip phone again. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's as cool as those flip phones are, they have an inherent vulnerability.
Well, especially when you give them to small children that develop nervous habits and open and close them continuously. And it's like an automobile car door test where they have to be able to cycle it 1,000 times an hour. You know, and that's what kids do with stuff like that.
Well, I found just in the kids didn't get hold of mine, but I mean, it was just in the regular use of the phone.
Right.
Eventually.
For grown-ups, it takes 2.5 years.
Okay, Lynn, we're sorry to say that to you, Lynn, but it probably is the case that your flip phone has passed to that big flip phone graveyard.
Well, the good news is that if he takes it to the store, they should. It's still alive. There's just no display. So they'll be able to plug into it and then capture his contacts off of there.
Oh, good point.
And stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, if I take a SIM card out of this phone, put it in another comparable phone, will that work?
Usually. Well, who's the carrier?
AT&T.
Mm. Probably.
I'm getting a lot of head nodding here.
Probably.
Yep.
Be aware that your contact...
with them, too. So, see, the phone functions okay, except I have a blank screen, I get incoming text, but I can't see what it is. I can't text back, so I'm rather severely limited.
Right, well,
that phone seems to be operational.
Yes, that's what Sheeta's comment was that the screen itself is DOA, or the phone itself is non-functional. But, Jim, you had something you were saying.
Yeah, you can move the SIM card, but your contacts may not all be on the SIM card. So the phone store can plug in and do the copy if necessary.
Yep. Right, and they can also copy all your old messages, too, which is sometimes good to have that history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you're paying them. Go to the store, and that'll be helpful.
I agree. Lynn, thanks for your call, and good luck getting that swapped out. I hope you can. Let's go to Cliff from Walled Lake. Cliff, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Two things. One, an IT guy at work suggested I download the Avira virus checker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I'm running Windows 7 on a HP laptop.
Okay.
And if I go into their browser, it will lock me out of some of the things with audios or videos where I can go right back over to Internet Explorer and they run fine. Is there something with Avira that's a problem?
Hmm. You know, I'm not familiar with Avira. I haven't used it in a... I'm not even sure if I've ever used it.
It's funny. With all these Mac users sitting here, there's not a whole lot of recognition of what works.
Well, a lot of web browsers do include plugins for various browsers, and that will potentially stop. They'll stop pop-ups. They'll stop unfriendly, add-ons and stuff. So, I'm sorry, what browser were you? Avira. I had to see the symbol. Yeah, I've used this before.
It's not a browser, isn't it?
No.
No, it's a piece of software.
It's antivirus.
Yeah, yeah.
So what browser were you using that stopped functioning normally? I'm sorry.
Well, normally I use an Internet Explorer, but they have this what is supposedly a secure browser that's built into their free version, which is what I'm on.
Oh.
And it says, that I don't know why. It's just not running. It looks like everything else is fine. It wants me to download... the Adobe Flash Player, which I did, and it still doesn't do anything.
You want to stay away from Flash.
Okay, so you're using Avira's supposed secure web browser, and certain things aren't working, but when you use Internet Explorer, everything, your web experience is back to normal? Is that what you're saying, or did I get that reversed?
No, that's correct.
Okay. And probably the reason why that is there are many things that are now being passed through, the Flash player, the Adobe Flash.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of people just don't want to watch multimedia and stuff. So they just want to have a very clean internet experience. And I don't want to see ads and I don't want to see pop-ups. So a lot of things will stop working if you're using Avera's web browser. I'm speculating on that.
Caleb, and the other Mac folks here, am I right that Steve Jobs, he was death on Flash? Am I right? Yeah.
Yeah. He was not a big fan of Flash. And, you know, it was Flash stop coming preloaded on Macs a number of years ago.
Why is that? I'm curious.
What was security.
Security. Yeah. See, that's...
Flash wasn't engineered to be a secure piece of software. There's a lot of openings and vulnerabilities in it. And because of that, he stayed away from it and pushed more toward HTML5, which was a more secure experience.
See, that's
in the case of this particular gentleman using this secured browser, they probably got a bunch of filters turned on in the secured browser that closes up a bunch of stuff. And anything that even looks like it might be a virus-type situation or malware, it shuts it down. Yeah. That's the reason why when he goes back to Internet Explorer, everything seems to work just fine. So rather than use this browser, I would probably be more inclined for him to do something like Malware Bytes to be able to keep an eye on things going on his machine and just use Internet Explorer instead.
Yep.
Malware Bytes. Okay.
Be the purchased version because the free version doesn't provide real-time protection. And did you purchase the Avera antivirus, or are you just using the free stuff?
No, I have one of the IT guys, as far as one of the free ones go, because I'm pinching pennies. And he did a check, and he said this was highly recommended. I know it's a German-based company.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
nothing against our Germans. I love them, because they everything. It's usually rock solid. Yeah, Braun. Okay, Foster Braun. I just can't get more German than that. Or Rudel.
Yeah, there you go. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
One other quick question. I was listening earlier. I just got caught the end of your Mac group, and I'm going to be buying a new machine. But I'm a Windows guy from way, way back. Mm-hmm. I haven't touched anything since Apple II back in the mid-80s. If I go over to a Mac machine trying to run Windows, which I know they can do, what kind of issues am I going to run into?
Jim, you were talking about this during the break with us.
Well, if you want to do it reliably, you'll have to buy a program like...
I would either use something like VMware... so that's VM Fusion for the Mac, or Parallels for the Mac. Those two allow you to run a Windows operating system in a virtual machine environment within the Mac OS. So you won't have to reboot the machine in order to be able to enjoy both experiences at the same time.
Is there a particular piece of software that's important to you, Cliff?
I do a lot of different things. I do a lot of internet, but I don't have any form of TV. So I'm watching movies online, but I do some Word, I do some Excel, that type of thing.
Well, all those things, you can do Word and Excel without, doing it. I use them on my Mac. That matter of fact, it came preloaded with Apple's Notes and what is the other? There are three applications that come.
Keynote, Pages, and Numbers.
Exactly. But I'm used to using the Microsoft application, so I subscribe to Microsoft Office 365, and that allows me to download completely functional applications of Word and
Excel, PowerPoint. Yeah, everything that's offered in the Microsoft suite, you can get on the subscription service.
Yep. And as we were talking before, by the way, Microsoft is doing everything it can to be as operational as it can on Macs. Well, cross-platform, period. They want to be able to function across platforms.
But you can go out and buy a Mac machine, use the virtual machine software, either Parallels or VM Fusion, and be able to load your Windows, whatever version you have, 7 or 10, onto your Mac and then load all those programs on it and still have all the stuff that you're having on your current machine but within the Mac environment so you can have the best of both worlds.
And you only need to do that if you have programs that are Windows only that you must have.
Yes.
I mean, we've been using Windows and Microsoft Word for Mac and Microsoft Excel for Mac for years.
Yep. With, so that's why
absolute interchangeability with the Windows world.
Yeah. And that's, Cliff, why I asked if you had any particular programs that you were, you know, desperate to use that were Windows only. If not, you might as well get a Mac machine. You know, and there's some great ones out there. We got to take a break right now. Thank you for calling, and hope we've helped you out this weekend. By the way, folks, we have some phone lines open right now, and we are going to be wrapping things up in about 10, 15 minutes. So get in here and get your questions at 800-859-0957. Again, that's 800-859-0957. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Well, while Mr. Baker is playing Pirates of the Caribbean, hey, Cal Carson and Ed Rudell have been in studio with me and helping us today with our special Apple program. And in particular, focusing on Mac Group Detroit. They've got a meeting coming up tomorrow, their monthly meeting, and we'll be talking more about that before we wrap up the hour. And I want to thank Sheeta Honder for being with us here. Sheeta, thank you very much for coming in. And Dave McGuire and Jim Cutler, who are members of the Mac Group.
Glad to be here.
And thank you so much for coming in and helping us out, especially in the second hour, to answer some questions here. Let's dive back in. All of a sudden, we got all sorts of folks asking questions. Let's dive back and say hello to Jim from Southfield. Jim, how can we help you here?
Having difficulty getting into Bank of America's website, and if you can't get in there, you can't put in your ID or your passcode. I get the impression they may be having problems, but can you offer any help?
Well, I have a Bank of America account myself, and we have a number of, identities or usernames that we use with it. My wife has one. My brother-in-law has one because they have those, you know, separate accounts. And then I have one. And what I found is that sometimes when I open up the page to log in, that it won't show the password for my account, for instance. And I have to make sure that it is entering my password and not one of the other passwords. That's what's kept me at times from being able to log in.
Oh, this is even before that. I can't even get that first page. It says timed out, and that's it.
Oh, how long has this been going on?
A week.
That's kind of unusual because I'm sitting here looking at Ed right now. Wow, you got a lot of money in that account.
Yeah, I called a neighbor check, and she had no trouble getting, but that night had been unsuccessful.
When was the last time you rebooted your computer?
Oh, just a couple times today.
Okay. The next time you reboot, you're using Windows, right?
Yes, I got a Windows desktop with 7, and I tried it on the laptop with 10. Get the same effect.
Oh, you do?
Then in that case, I suggest you to call the Bank of America.
Yeah.
I've talked to them 3 times. I've been on the phone with them for 6 hours this week.
Ouch.
I spent a couple hours at the bank yesterday, the brick-and-mortar place, and he called somebody special in Texas, and no progress yet.
Oh, my goodness.
When you go back to here's just a suggestion. I know this sounds like a lot of work to do, but it seems like it would get you closer to what's going on. Take your laptop to the bank and try to log on there.
And show them exactly what's going on.
Show them the problem that you're having, and then see what happens from that point on. At least that way they'll have a closer idea of what's going on, and that might be helpful because right now, so far, it seems to be working just fine for everyone else.
I just logged onto my account as we're talking right now. Jim, when you log in there, you open. First of all, what browser are you using?
Oh, we've tried them all.
Okay.
Chrome, Firefox.
Okay. Good. No, you're doing great diagnostic work. When you log in and you look up at the address, does it say https://? Is the S in there?
Yes. Well, not only that, but one of the super techs emailed me with the address it's supposed to go in. So I put it in exactly as he sent it.
Yeah, yeah.
No good.
You know, here's one other thing. I know I asked you if you rebooted your computer. Did you reboot your router in your house?
Yes, that was the other thing that was recommended. And that was done. And I've contacted AT&T, and they don't have any answers. Everything's working fine.
Wow.
So, quick question, though. So when you rebooted your wireless router, I want to make sure that your laptop and your desktop actually appeared to disconnect from your wireless router. Because what I would be concerned about is you attaching to someone else's network instead of your own, and it's what's called a man in the middle.
Oh.
So when your wireless network is not available, that you do not have internet access.
Yeah.
So because, you know, sometimes like when you go to coffee shops and stuff, it'll say, you know, the coffee shop's name, but it's really not. It's someone sitting in the corner with a black cape and they've actually are broadcasting the same name as the coffee shop. And I want to make sure, because it seems like if the only thing you cannot connect to is a bank account, that's really strange.
Is that the only thing, Jim?
Oh, that's the only website that gives trouble. Everything else works fine.
Wow.
Yeah, so I want to make sure that when you shut off your home wireless network, not just reboot it, but shut it off, that you truly do lose internet access. And then power your
wireless. I actually turned off both computers before I rebooted them.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying power off the wireless router, leave your computers on, and make sure that they're still not connected. Make sure that they lose access to the internet.
Oh, yes. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he's saying that there may be somebody there who is spoofing. Now, how do you connect to the internet?
The wired thing, whatever UVerse provided.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you're hardwired, then maybe that's not an issue. But if you're wireless.
Yeah, but if
no,
he's
not wireless.
Yeah, are any of your neighbors have UVerse wireless as well?
Yes, that's what I mentioned. The neighbor that two doors over, I called her, and she immediately got onto the Bank of America account, although she didn't have one, but I mean, she got onto that.
Yeah.
Then she even came down. She couldn't believe me. She came down and tried it on my machines, and it didn't work.
You have got us skunked, and Jim, I'll be very honest with you, and I think maybe the best solution would be to take your laptop into the bank and say, okay, here's what it looks like, and have them maybe make an appointment so they can have a tech there to take a look at what's going on. All right?
Okay, I did copy the screen, what it says, and printed that and took that in.
No, take the whole machine in. Take the laptop in with you. And let them see what's happening, okay?
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, Jim, I'm terribly sorry that we're not able to give you more of an answer than that, but the rest of us are all kind of mystified at what this might be. Let's go to Mary from Sterling Heights. You need some help removing cookies?
Yes, hi.
Normally, I remove them by eating them.
That'd be great.
Sorry. How can we help you?
Yes, when I... Like, if I'm on the bank account site or even Google or any of the sites, Walmart, Amazon, and I want to remove my cookies, I always go to the privacy tab, and it's allow from websites I visit, deny without prompting, and ask websites not to track me. I always have those three checked. So then I hit manage website data, and though there's a bunch of, I guess those are cookies, and then I say remove all, and then... another thing comes up, and I just say remove that, and then I say done. So then I want to check it. So then I go to manage website data again, and there's one that says Trulia.com databases. That thing is always on there. Even if I highlight it and say remove, and then I say done, it's still there. How do I get rid of that?
Trulia?
TRULIA.com. And then the word databases is under it.
Trulia.
I get rid of that.
That's a real estate site.
Right.
Right.
Okay, we've been told. So. Our engineer just, Daniel, told me that that's looking for houses, like a real estate website?
Yep. That's what that is. Uh-huh. As far as removing it out of there, I don't have an answer for you. I wish I did.
If you're using a browser, you might want to go check on your add-ons that you have on your browser and see if that one is listed in there, and then remove it as an add-on.
Okay, I have a MacBook Pro, and I'm on Safari. Where do I go to get whatever you just said?
You want to, in Safari, you want to click under File, go to Preferences.
Oh, yeah. my preferences are under Safari.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. For what you're looking for,
uh-huh.
You want to get into Preferences
okay.
in Safari.
Yes.
So once you've done that, up along the top,
yes.
On the far right side, you're going to see something in blue that says Extensions.
Yes. Okay. I
click on
that. Okay.
Is there anything inside of that?
Yes. It says PDF Converter HQ 2.60 2.10.2.
Okay. Is there anything else besides that? How many different things are in there?
If I want to say that says to uninstall it, if I want.
Right.
Should I uninstall that? What is that?
That's what it does is it allows you to convert PDF forms to a different type of document.
Mm-hmm. Like a Word document.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't sound too bad. So.
No, it really isn't.
No.
Do me a favor. The next one over, next to Extensions, is Advanced Notifications.
Okay. Oh, all right. That says CNN Breaking News or the Free Dictionary.
Okay. What we want to look for is Trulia. So if you don't see that in there, that's a good thing.
It's not in there.
Okay.
About Advanced. No, I don't see anything on there saying that, Trulia.
No.
Go ahead, swing the mic over. Yeah, go ahead.
Try going back under Safari. Close that box up.
Okay.
Go back under Safari.
Yes.
And go down to Clear History.
Oh, is that going to clear, though, everything?
You can see they give you different variables of how much you can clear the last hour or all history. Unless you really need that history, I clear all history.
I still need some of the history, though.
Okay. In that case, leave that one alone.
Here's what I'm going to suggest for you, Mary. Tomorrow, make an appointment at 2 o'clock to be at the Mac Group Detroit meeting if you can. They have, starting at 2 o'clock, they have a Genius Bar there, and they can help you with this specific problem. You'll get a whole bunch of people gather around you to try to help with that. It's in Birmingham. If you want more information about that, go to internetadvisor.net, and on our show notes, you'll be able to click on there and find out more information.